Good morning, everybody. All right. Why don't we all stand together and we always need the Holy Spirit's help in understanding His Word, and then some days more than others. So we just want to welcome Him and take that moment and just recognize, and you know, this is His book, and He's going to do a work in our hearts. And so we just want to take a few minutes to just posture our hearts to receive from Him. And so I'll open us in prayer and just give you about 30 seconds just to pray quietly by yourself, and just ask Him to come and help each one of us to open our eyes. Holy Spirit, we love You. We bless You. We thank You that You're here, as You've told us, Lord, this morning. And we thank You for Your presence, and thank You for Your faithfulness to us. And even as we sang that You delight to draw near to us as we draw near to You. So here we are, in Jesus' name. And we, Father, we thank You for the compassion that You have on us. You're mindful of our frame, that we're but dust. We're so short-sighted and deaf and blind and hard of understanding. But You said You would remove from us a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, soft and tender before You, Lord. And that's how we want to be this morning. That's how we want to come to You this morning, just humble before You, Lord, fully acknowledging our need, our dependence on You for our daily bread, for nourishment and strengthening from Your Word. Lord, we hunger for transformation from the inside out. Lord, that You would strengthen us today with power through Your Holy Spirit in our inner man. And Lord, we ask You for understanding. We ask You for wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of who You are to grip each one of our hearts. We ask You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I know the kids are in here with us this week. I do have some coloring pages and colored pencils. They're out in the foyer. If anyone has the wiggles or the antsies and needs something to occupy themselves, it's there for you to use. Regardless of where you landed during COVID, pro-mask, anti-mask, pro-vax, anti-vax, whether it was a government conspiracy or the judgment of God, whatever you wanted to label it, we all remember those few early days, don't we? Where we're all scrambling, we're all reeling, we're all trying to figure out what is this and what are we to do about it. And I'm bivocational, and so my day job, as I like to say, my work during the week, is I'm a mobile vendor for local car dealerships. And my job depends on people buying cars. And so every day as COVID is ramping up and we're getting right into the thick of it, I'm hearing continually increasing unemployment numbers are just going up and going up and going up. I'm like, oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Any day I'm expecting just to feel just the bottom drop out of everything. And we had other vendors, friends of ours that are in the region and maybe a couple hours away from us, and they would call us and say, have you been let go yet? And we're like, no, what are you talking about? Like, oh, I just showed up on the lot. And they said, because of all that's going on, we just want everybody to be safe. Go home for 3 to 4 weeks. I'm like, oh, gosh, that hasn't happened. But every day I show up hearing the numbers go up and expecting, oh, here's the day it's going to come where I'm just going to be let go and sent home. And how am I going to survive without 3 to 4 weeks worth of income? And then I remember the day that the governor of Georgia declared the shelter in place. I'm like, well, I got to travel to South Carolina a lot. What am I going to do with this? And so I'm hearing him make this announcement that for 6 weeks, everybody's supposed to shelter in place. And I remember the ride home from work that day as I would love to say I was just full of faith and praying. Instead, I'll tell you this, I was a mess. I was trying, and my spirit knew, you should have faith. Aaron, God took you through the days after 9/11 when the economy crashed. God took you through 2008 when the economy crashed. But somehow this thing just seemed bigger than all of that. And so even though my spirit is like, come on, have faith, come on, have faith, my mind is racing, my mind is spinning, and I'm faltering and worrying and fretting and complaining and trying to pray and fretting and worrying and complaining and trying to pray, and I was just a mess. But I remember pulling up to my driveway, and I opened my mailbox as I'm about to pull into the house. I open my mailbox, and I pull out a thank you note. And I open up the thank you note, and inside was a check for $200. Now, I didn't have a $200 immediate need, and in light of everything that I was worrying about, $200 wasn't going to go very far. But as soon as I held that check in my hand, the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, I know your needs before you even ask. And in that moment, it was a miracle. All the worry, all the fret, all the concern, it lifted. It was settled. He's going to provide. And we were solid. Of course, hindsight's 20/20, and I never had any of all those things that I worried about ever happen. But the point I want us to grasp is we're looking at the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and their purpose and why they're so essential today is because there's going to be another crisis coming. I don't have to be prophetic to say that. There's always another crisis coming. There's always something else to worry about. There's always a turn in the economy. It goes like this. When it goes up, you know it's going to come down. And when it comes down, you know it's going to... Everything is constantly in flux. There is so much to consume us. But what has God given us to help us hold steady? To help us, to strengthen us in our faith, to build us up, to encourage us in every crisis. And the answer is he's given us the body, and he's given the body gifts. To each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Whatever crisis we're in as a community, as a nation, or even as individuals, it is crucial that you be connected with a body where the manifestation of the Spirit is taking place for the common good. You need to be around other believers who have been given a manifestation of the Spirit for your good, for your upbuilding and encouragement and strengthening, because each one of us in some way or another is facing a crisis, is in that place. And so we're in this ending this study today talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And more specifically, today we're going to talk about the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And let's just be honest. I've heard some people say tongues is the least gift, but it's the one we make the biggest deal out of, isn't it? We go crazy about tongues. And I'll be honest with you. It's good to be honest in church. Tongues are weird. They're just weird. But if weirdness is your standard, we got a lot of other stuff in this book. That's pretty weird. I mean, the whole thing starts off with a talking snake. And then a little further in, you got a talking donkey. Axe heads float. The sun stood still for a day. This one shook me a number of years ago. I was ever discover a story in the Bible, you're like, I never even heard that before. But it's in there. The prophet Elisha dies and is buried. And so much time has passed, there's nothing left of his body but his bones. And some people had a friend who died, and they were going to bury him. And as they're going to bury him, the Philistines come and attack. They panic, and so they throw their dead friend into Elisha's tomb. He lands on Elisha's bones and is resurrected. Like, whose faith was at work there? You got two dead men and a group of friends who are terrified. I'm reading this, I'm like, in my spirit, I'm like, I know this is the word of God, it should be true in my mind, I'm like, I don't believe this at all. This is all weird stuff. We believe that a virgin was conceived a son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Philip was transported from one place in time to another place in time. A shadow of the apostle passed over a sick person and they got healed. Let alone the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And suddenly, to think about the idea that the Spirit of the living God might indwell in you and fill you and give you a language that you don't know, well, that's not so big of a stretch, is it? In light of everything else in Scripture. But still, you know, the mention of tongues, our defenses just come right up because of just poor teaching and abuses. But Paul, you know, as he's teaching on tongues in 1 Corinthians, his response is, well, shut it down or stay away from it. Avoid it. Don't talk about it. He says, I do not want you to be unaware. He brings godly teaching. And sometimes when we think about abuses or unbiblical teaching, we automatically think to the ultra-charismatic side of things. But I grew up in a conservative, evangelical, Southern Baptist church, and I heard lots of things that were completely unbiblical. I remember being in a Sunday school class, I was about 13, 14 years old, and it was probably a mix. We were curious, but we were also 13, so we were pretty obnoxious. And I don't know why they placed a woman to be a teacher over a group of 13-year-old boys, but they did. And so we're just peppering her with questions. And at a certain point, she just got all flushed, and she goes, hold on. And she leaves the room, and she comes back in with a senior pastor. She comes in with the big guns, right? Going to answer all these little twerps' questions. And we get on the subject of tongues. And this is what this seminary-trained senior pastor of a Southern Baptist church says to us. He said, well, I've heard if you sing a song and it ministers to people, that's a tongue. I'm like, where is that in the Bible? Like, how does that, like, I'm not trying to beat up on Southern Baptists. Like, I had issues early on when I, you know, came into understanding things of the Spirit, but the Lord rebuked me. He said, they gave you your foundation in the Word of God. They taught me, go to the Word of God with everything. Test it against the Word of God. A song is a tongue? Other people have said, well, the gift of tongues today, that's to help missionaries learn a language. Again, please show me in the Word of God where you're seeing this. No, it was just a statement that was made. 6 years I was in high school under a youth pastor. 6 years, and the only teaching I heard on tongues, he made this comment. He said, guys, I speak in tongues all the time. It's no big deal. I'm like, well, that's great. Could you expound on that a little bit? Could you explain some things? Because nobody seems to have any really good answers or understanding about what this thing of tongues is all about. We were part of a Nazarene church for a little bit. And in the pastor, he in the very back in the foyer, he put up this rack with a bunch of pamphlets. Now, every pamphlet had a different question on it. But one was, what about the gift of tongues? And so I read through it. I didn't find anything that was necessarily, you know, confusing. It seemed to be pretty straightforward. He was answering a lot of the questions. And probably I'm going to repeat a lot of things that he said here today. But where he ended with it was this. He goes, because tongues are just so controversial, my recommendation is just keep it in your prayer closet at home. And I'm thinking, well, Paul says, when he's teaching on the gifts, the whole context is when you gather together. So again, Paul desires, let's go to the Word of God. Let's be informed about what tongues is and what it is not and how it's to be used and how it serves us and how it helps us. And many of us, we've grown up with these false ideas, these unbiblical ideas concerning tongues. And sometimes I've thought it may be helpful even as we start this out just to say, you know what, Holy Spirit, I've had some wrong ideas here. I've just taken these things without going to your Word about them. And so I want to repent of that and lay those down and say, Holy Spirit, again, help me understand. Give me insight and wisdom into what you're saying here today. So what is the gift of tongues? Well, we start in Acts chapter 2. It says, and this is at Pentecost, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God? The amazing thing to the onlookers here, these devout Jewish men, was that these were Galileans. They should not know our language. And the miracle was is that these men were not trained in other languages. This was something that the Spirit of God coming upon them gave them utterance to. And the miracle was that these men who spoke other languages could hear them in their own language and understand them. Again, back to the whole idea of missionaries getting help, I am confident that the Holy Spirit helps missionaries learn languages. But what we see here is that they were not studying any language. They weren't even having, hey, let's get out there and let's speak to people in their language and tell them about the gospel. This is something something that came on them from the Holy Spirit. They were not trained, and everyone who heard it was amazed. But more specifically, what I want to highlight to us is what they were saying. They were hearing him declare the mighty works of God. Other translations say declare the wonders of God. Tongues are not just gibberish. It's not just babbling or making sounds out of your mouth. It is a language. And in this language, tongues, the work that it does is declaring the wonders of God. Paul says in Corinthians 14, 2, one who speaks in a tongue utters mysteries in the Spirit. So this isn't just nonsense or just gibberish coming out of our mouth. In Acts chapter 10, Peter is preaching to Gentiles. And while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And that word extol, it means praising, magnifying, exalting God. Again, we're not talking about yabba dabba do or who stole my Honda. We're talking about a language. We're talking about there is something going on in the Spirit declaring the wonders of God, praising God, exalting God, magnifying God. This isn't, anyway. But one thing, again, things that we want to highlight here is whenever tongues is mentioned in Acts, it is always accompanying the baptism, the filling of the Holy Spirit. But we have to be careful here because there are groups and teachings that say you must be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Like it's a requirement that this goes alongside that. We do not see that in Scripture. We do see instances where it does accompany, but it's not every time or absolute. We see other instances of people being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they prophesy, are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're emboldened to preach the gospel. So we say here, tongues is an evidence, one of the evidences, one of the possible evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you look in Ephesians, here's what Paul adds after he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I thought I had it. All right, I'm just going to read it to you from Ephesians chapter 5. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be subject to one another. An evidence of you being filled with the Holy Spirit could be that we're humble before each other. We're subject to one another. And so understand that it's not this absolute, like every time you get filled with this Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. There's many fruits. What I heard a teacher one time say, your mouth is the overflow of what you get filled with. And so what comes, you know, even Jesus taught this, the scripture speaks this, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. And what happens when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, something's going to come out of your mouth. It could be singing, it could be making melody, it could be giving praise and thanks, it could be tongues. And that has something to speak to us today, because you can't speak deceit and claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't gossip and claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know it's the cool thing now to say I'm a Christian and use foul language, but you can't use foul language and claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the mouth is a reflection of what the heart is full of. Speaking in tongues. All right, here we go. First, this verse here. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Paul says this, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? So Paul links speaking in tongues with praise, with prayer, with giving thanks. These are all the things that tongues encompasses here. And when we speak in tongues, we are proclaiming the mighty works of God. We are praising. We are giving thanks. We are praying. Tongues are the overflow of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And what does the gift of tongues accomplish? Paul says, for one who utters in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. He utters mysteries in the Spirit. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. And so when I shared with you the story about the $200 check, there's probably a little bit of a stirring in you maybe. Like, yeah, that's our God. He's faithful, he speaks, he's powerful, he shows up in surprising ways, he's a provider. Like, that's the building up, that's the encouraging. Smith Wigglesworth would say you would never start a sermon without having some testimonies first, because he wanted the faith in the room just to be elevated. And so when I share with you in a language that you can understand, a testimony declaring the wonders of God, giving him praise, giving him thanks, declaring all that he is, it builds you up. How much more spirit words strengthen and edify and build up your spirit, man? This is what it means when we speak and when we pray in tongues. We build ourselves up. Jude says this in verses 20 and 21, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Like our praying in the Spirit, which can mean a lot of things, but it also includes tongues. Our praying in the Spirit, our praying in tongues keeps us in the love of God, keeps reminding us of how much he loves us. How often do we need to hear that? How often do we need to know that? And I don't mean like you know, you pass those signs, Jesus loves you, but you see him so much, you're like, yeah, I know. Some days you just need to know it. Like in a level that's just deeper than your mental comprehension. And that's the problem with us as Westerners, is we idolize our own understanding. Like if I can't put it together, because if I can understand it, I can control it. And so we're uncomfortable with this thing called the Spirit, who has a mind of its own, a will of his own, who has an agenda of his own. Sometimes we say, you know, if I can't put it together formulaically, I don't even know if that's a word, it just came out, that wasn't a tongue, but... Like, if we can't comprehend it, it just must be rubbish. But there, the Spirit is alive within you. This person of the Holy Spirit fills you and indwells in you and is active in you, whether you feel it or not. And so there's things that, like when we're teaching people about raising children, we tell them, like, speak Scripture to them. Teach them Scripture. It is so important. You might think, well, they're too young. They can't comprehend. You're not speaking it to their mind. You're speaking it to their spirit. Their inner man will get it. There are so many things sometimes that you will understand here first before you even get it here. And speaking in tongues, this building ourselves up in the Spirit heightens that sensitivity. It's that resonance, that witness of the Spirit. There's been times I've gotten prophetic words, and I'm like, I don't even know what to do with that. But my spirit says yes. I just know that's right on. I don't even know how to respond to that other than to say amen. That's why you should say amen. When you hear something that bears witness in your spirit, amen is prayer. Amen is saying, so be it. Amen doesn't mean, attaboy, preacher, keep on saying the good stuff I like. Amen is, yes, so be it. I want that truth to expand and be concreted in my life. I may not even totally get what you just said, but my spirit bears witness with it. Amen. And so that's why we've even taught before, like if you hear a teaching and something, you know, they talk about, I know it with my knower. Something in you says, listen to that. Listen to that until you can find it yes or no in the Word of God. Listen to that. And if something bears witness, like that guy just spoke truth, say amen. Listen to that. The Spirit is dynamic. He's at work within us. And tongues is a way of prayer and praise and proclamation. And it's giving of thanks that bears that builds us up, that strengthens us in our most holy faith, that keeps us in the love of God. Amen. Thank you. Do I have to pray in tongues? Short answer is no. But you also have to hold that, and we can see that from Paul's, do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No, not everybody does. But he also says this, I want you all to speak in tongues. Like the apostolic heart for you is, this is a really good thing. This is going to build you up in your most holy faith. This is going to keep you in the love of God. This is praise. This is prayer. This is proclamation. This is giving of thanks. I believe somewhere in the Bible it says, do all of that without ceasing. And so, no, you don't have to pray in tongues. You don't have to be someone who does, but you also have to hold that intention with earnestly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And my fear is that just if we rest, okay, no, I don't have to, we kind of slide on this complacent place of just saying, I'm fine, I'm good, I've got everything I need from God. But if you desire to speak in tongues, that's not a desire from the enemy. That's not even a desire of the flesh. That's something you should pursue. I believe God has placed that in you because he wants to fill it and meet it. And so there's two men. I'm almost a little suspicious that maybe they coordinated their testimonies. But two well-respected teachers of the word, John Piper and Francis Chan, they almost say the exact same thing. And when it comes to the gift of tongues, they say, we look at Scripture, and it seems like Paul is saying, this is a really good thing for you to have. So we've asked God to give us the gift of tongues. Where we would probably maybe part ways a little bit, as they say, but he hasn't seen fit to give it to us yet. I would say, well, man, eagerly desire. Keep on asking. Pursue this thing. If this is a good gift, but this isn't, like I said, something that's just full of nonsense or gibberish. This is a good gift that we can pursue. And oftentimes when you get into discussions on the gift of tongues, people will say, well, you believe in the gift of tongues? You say, yes, but you're like, but with interpretation, right? Well, let's look into this. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and God. This idea of interpretation, it's not a word-for-word translation. It's much more linked to the gift of prophecy, where it's this general idea that's coming forth. But I've heard it expressed this way. It's one gift, but it has two applications. And so if you were somewhere and you heard two foreigners speaking in their language together, you wouldn't stop and interrupt them and say, hey, I need to know what you're talking about. I need you to give me a translation, an interpretation here. That would just be rude. And when someone is praying in tongues, who are they speaking to? They're speaking to God. They're not talking to you. And so if you hear me, if you come in, they know this week as we're in prayer and fasting, you happen to come in a little early and hear me praying in the Spirit in the prayer room, you don't need to kick down the door and say, you give me an interpretation or you're in error. Mind your business. But if I'm coming before you publicly and addressing you, let's just say I spoke in Japanese, the most spiritually anointed, theologically sound sermon ever. What would you get out of it? Nothing. Maybe by some miracle the Spirit would just do a little something, but you'd get nothing out of it. Paul says, I want all of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather speak 10,000 words of prophecy than one word. I don't know. Anyway, he just said, listen, his point is this. I want people to be edified. And if I'm speaking to you in a language that you don't understand, you don't get edified. So there needs to be an interpretation. So when people say, do you believe in the gift of tongues? You say, yeah, like with interpretation. Like, well, duh. Of course we need an interpretation. We don't understand the language. The gift was so that the body could be built up and strengthened and encouraged. That's why Paul says, if I speak with a tongue of men and of angels, but don't have love, I'm just a noisy gong. See, we've separated 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. If we want to talk about unity in the body, we look at 1 Corinthians 12, where there's many parts, and we all work together, and we all take care of each other, and it's beautiful. And if we want to get married, we look at 1 Corinthians 13, where it's all about love. And when we want to shut down tongues, we go to 1 Corinthians 14. But this is one continuous thought. He's saying, look, you need to understand, to each is given, to the body, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In order for you to do that well, you need to love one another. You need to serve one another. That's what these gifts are for. They are for serving one another. Where the gifts get messy, where they get divisive, is when we use them to promote ourselves and not serve one another. Now you take that thought into how we use the gift of tongues. And here's the thing is that situation at Corinth, it's like listening to one half of a phone conversation. And Paul says, that's right. Yeah, he says, but if there's no one interpreter, let each keep silent, speak to himself and God. So my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. If any speak in a tongue, let there only be two, or at the most three, and each in turn let someone interpret. And so we're hearing this side of the conversation, which leads us to believe most likely at the church in Corinth, right, people are trying to promote themselves or draw attention to themselves, since things were kind of out of order. There's no interpretation. And so somebody's trying to give announcements, and somebody just jumps up and starts speaking in tongues. So now they can't. Well, somebody wants to outdo that person, so they stand up and they start speaking in tongues. Meanwhile, the guy leading the meeting is like, can I just get through the announcements? Right? Like things, like it's not all, it's suddenly it's like, wait a minute. See, even to minister like this, the gift of tongues, that the genius of God in the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that we need each other. Like if I come up and give a tongue publicly, I've been obeyed, and now I need to go sit down and let somebody interpret so that the body might be edified. But if it's just about my tongue and I'm giving it and I'm drawing attention to myself, I'm the only one that gets any glory. And no one gets to interpret in the interpretation, but like I said, is aligned with probably prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus. Nobody sees Jesus because they're too busy looking at you. That's why there's no 11th commandment that says, if you speak in tongues, there must be an interpretation. The big sin of speaking in tongues without interpretation is you've only loved yourself and you haven't served the body. This is the beautiful thing about the gift of tongues and why it's such a shame that it's gotten just maligned and misused and misapplied, all these things. So Paul says, that's why Paul is saying there must be order to this. And so he's all for tongues. He's all for tongues being manifested in the body. And he also understands the temptation of the human heart, which is I want to use my gift to get everybody looking at me. When the gifts were meant to encourage one another as we go through all these trials, as we go through these struggles, as our faith is faltering, as we're reeling from circumstances around us. Sometimes I've heard people talk about, are there demonic tongues? Or have I gotten a false tongues? I'll just say this and leave it alone. Scripture never talks about either of these. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, you got to test the spirit. You got to test the tongue. The phrase testing the spirit always refers to prophecy. The words that you hear in English, the words that you hear, like test those words. Hold them up to the word of God. How do they stand there? But beyond all that, the reality is this, is that the demonic doesn't work that way. Somehow we've got this idea that I'm going to go to my Father, my Heavenly Father, ask him for a gift from his Holy Spirit, and somehow the devil's going to sneak in there and get me. The demonic doesn't work that way. The demonic works with what you give them. So things like unforgiveness, right? Don't let the sun go down in your anger and give the devil a foothold. You've just given him something in your unforgiveness. So things like unforgiveness give the devil room to work in your life. Things like unrepentance or a lack of confession, habits and things that we do regularly in our life, if we're unrepentant, We're harboring sin in our lives. This gives the devil a foothold in our life. Our entertainment choices, what we fill our eyes with, or our ears with, or where we spend our time, they give the devil a foothold. Or if we dabble in things with the occult, but not when we go and seek our Heavenly Father and ask Him for one of His good gifts from His Holy Spirit. We're not giving the devil any room in there. Again, Luke 11, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? All right. So that's the gift of tongues. It's this wonderful gift that God has given us to build ourselves up in, and we can ask our Father for it. And so I just want to spend just the last closing part here just talking about, you know, how we kind of apply that all here. And every church probably has a little different way of tending to this. But in our times of worship together, corporately, you may hear somebody behind you or beside you singing in a tongue, speaking in a tongue. If you're worried about people hearing you, then come sit up front. There's lots of room. That's the best time. Sometimes, if I don't know the new song, I'll just sing in a tongue. I don't have to sit there and like, I don't know this one. I don't like this one. I'll sing in the Spirit. No problem. You guys go on. Right? It's a perfectly appropriate time. Paul talks about singing in the Spirit, giving thanks in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. These are all fully appropriate times to be speaking in the Holy Spirit, and we don't need an interpretation because we're talking to God. All we ask, as Paul said, do things in an orderly way. So when the music rises, you can sing out in the tongue as loud as you want. I love it. That's where I'm most at home sometimes. I love meetings where everybody's just lifting their voices in the Spirit. It's fantastic. And when the music quiets down, just lower your voice with it. Because sometimes I've been in places where, like, the Spirit is just simmering things down and somebody just wants to just be heard. Right? It's making it about them again. Just be aware. But tongues are fully welcome here. But what if somebody came and gave a tongue on the microphone? What would you do? We'd thank them for it, and then we would wait. And we would say, body, let's take a minute to pray and ask for an interpretation. Because it works together. And this person stepped out in faith to come and bring a tongue. Where's your faith to receive an interpretation from the Father? What if we don't get an interpretation? We would thank them for stepping out in faith and receive the challenge to ourselves to grow in faith and expectancy, to see the Spirit manifested for the common good. We would not rebuke them and say, there's no interpretation, you heard wrong from the Lord. Get out of our church. Oh, that's, we would thank you. And sometimes, you know, at the end of service, we'll gather in small groups, sometimes in your home group. People will pray over you. And you'll hear people speaking in tongues. Here's how I found this helpful. We took a power encounter class when we were in school. And we heard the statistic. I even hate to even repeat it, but something like, they were coming at it from, you got to test the Spirit, test the tongues. They said, 95% of the tongues we've tested turned out to be false. And so, of course, we're coming to grace. And people would pray over us, and they start praying in tongues. We're just like, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Tongues, what do tongues do to the believer? Edify, build them up. Which is better, edified prayer or unedified prayer? Edified prayer. You want people praying in the Spirit before they start praying over you. And for me, sometimes I'm like, hey, pray for this. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I don't even know what or how to pray or which direction to go. I'll just begin to pray in the Spirit. Because what I found is as I do that, suddenly a verse, a picture, or even just a very specific area to pray over somebody just comes to mind. All right, let's have the worship team come forward. Just my testimony of speaking in tongues. Like I said, I grew up Southern Baptist, and I tell people all the time, I don't feel like I believe anything new. I just feel like I'm walking in the fullness of everything that they were trying to instill and teach. And so I was learning and discovering all these things about who the Holy Spirit is and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I heard just over and over people talking about the gift of tongues. It's awesome. It's wonderful. You should ask the Lord. You should pray in tongues. And so I would ask, Lord, would you give me the gift of tongues? Lord, would you give me the gift of tongues? Holy Spirit, give me your gift of tongues. And you know what happened? Nothing. And I talked with an older gentleman. He said, Aaron, like, you have to receive it by faith, and you have to open your mouth. You have to begin to speak. You have to begin to at least try, like a baby. You know, babies just mimic sound. They discover new sounds with their mouth, and then they speak it, and then the parent mimics it back, and there's this whole conversation of nonsense. You know, not that tongues are nonsense. I'm just saying, like, it's just at that level of communication and connecting. Okay, I'll do it. The Holy Spirit, give me tongues. I receive it by faith. Here goes. Heck, lek, sek, bek, check, nick. This is stupid. All I'm doing is just thinking of the next consonant to put in front of the sound ek. Like, what? This is foolishness. But then I would be stirred again later on, and I'd say, Holy Spirit, I ask you for the gift of tongues, I receive it, and here I go. Heck, lek, sek, nah, forget it. This is just stupid. And then one day, like I said, I work on car lots, and I'm backing a car into a parking space. I literally just put my hand over the back seat like this. It must have been some car. But I'm just backing into a parking spot. And just as I put my head over my shoulder just to look behind me, out just flowed a tongue. And it was effortless. And I didn't have to think about it. And it just flowed. I'm like, that was weird. But then the rest of the day, I would try it again. And I would try it again. I'm like, this is just coming out of me. Like, what is happening? Oh, yeah, hey, you asked. I gave it. How do you know it's the real thing? Like, I don't have time for foolishness. I know when I was making stuff up and when something is coming from my heart, from in here, the overflow. I'll just be a little goofy and honest with you. Like, sometimes I'm just walking across the house. Sometimes I'm just walking across the parking lot. Sometimes I'm just doing nothing. I'm not even thinking spiritual thoughts, but this tongue starts flowing out of me. Is anything spiritual going on? Well, I don't feel anything, but something's overflowing. Something's going on, even in that moment where I think nothing is going on. There's a reality, and the overflow of that is expressed in tongues. I'm just giving thanks. I'm just declaring the wonders of God to myself. I'm just praising Him and magnifying Him in the Spirit. And yeah, sometimes in worship, just the joy of the Lord, the truth of what we're singing, the glory of His beauty and His majesty and His splendor, I don't even have words for. The Spirit inside me, I don't even know how to say it, just is like, ah! Okay, too much. Listen, it's overwhelming. And I've run out of words to express what the Spirit is bearing witness with inside of me. There's no other expression to give it except praise in the Spirit. It's a wonderful gift. Fantastic. And yeah, pray in the Spirit before you read the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit when you don't know what to pray. Scripture, and Paul even says that, like, we don't even know how we should pray. So the Spirit groans for us. There's a groaning of the Spirit that the only expression you could give is praying in tongues. So let's do this today. If you'd like prayer to receive the gift of tongues, I want you to come forward right now. There's nothing mystical or magical. It's no superpower that I have in me. Paul even talks about the gift of prophecy that Timothy received through the laying on of hands. We just want to release the Holy Spirit to do his thing in you today. If there's anyone else who would like prayer, is there anyone else? No, you're good. You're good.
I'm here.
Just keep dancing. It's good. Anyone else who needs prayer for anything this morning? It could be a stronghold in your life. It could be a situation that you just need God to break in on. It could be a healing. Is there anyone here that would like prayer for anything this morning? Slip up your hand. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. And I'll just say this too. If you have the gift of tongues and would like to pray for one of these individuals, I want you to come forward and pray for them. And everybody else, if there's any, and as I close this, other people can pray for artists. Is that clear? Okay. Sometimes these things kind of come to me in the moment and my administrative lack just is glaring. So, all right. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you have gifts for your children. And I even thank you that you give us gifts that are for us, but for us to bless others. Like to share your joy, to share your peace, to share your love, to encourage and build one another up. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful thing you've done. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all the gifts that you've given to your church, because you desire that we would remain steadfast and strong, that we would remain like faithful, that we would endure to the end. Lord, that we would not succumb to the storms around us, but we would have greater confidence and hope in all that you're faithful to finish. Everything you started will be faithful to complete on the day of Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, just for a greater measure of grace on this house, Lord, to come every Sunday with expectancy that there will be a manifestation of your Spirit for the common good. Lord, we ask you even for a holy dissatisfaction. Lord, we don't want to settle for anything less. Forgive us for hedging our bets. Forgive us, Father, for small faith. Lord, help our unbelief so we can minister your heart to others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.